The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Be in God's presence this morning. Let me hear your impactful hallelujah. I welcome you into the month of May, and I pray that this month many will gather to thank God for you in Jesus' name. This month shall be a great month for you in the name of Jesus. Your expectations shall not be cut off. Let me hear your loudest amen. Your expectations shall not be cut off. I'll be taking you through a series in the course of this month. I'll be starting this morning a Higher Heights series with Thanksgiving for Higher Heights. Thanksgiving for Higher Heights. I trust God that you will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus. You have been destined for higher heights. Higher heights is not just for few people. It is for every one of us that is a child of God. The height of the person pulling you up determines the height you can attain. Hello? The height of the person that is pulling you. Before somebody can pull you to higher height, the person must already be in a higher height. Please come. Come. No, not this woman. Now, I'm on this platform now. If I want this man to come to a height that is... Come here. If I want this man, bring your hand. If I want him to come up, I have to be on a higher level to be able to pull him to this higher height. Praise the Lord. It is your connection to the Most High that determines your height in life. The Bible calls God the Most High. That's why those who are connected to the devil stay permanently on the floor. Your connection with the Most High is your guarantee for higher height. In John 12 verse 32, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. That is, if men can thank me, I will draw them up to a higher height. If men can lift me up, I am ready to take you to any height if you are ready to lift me up. I am ready to pull you to a height nobody can take you to if you are ready to lift me up. Quickly this morning, by way of definition, what is higher height? Higher height means an enviable position, being placed in an enviable position or status. When you say a man is lifted to higher height, he is placed in an enviable position or enviable status. Number two, what is higher height? It means being prestigiously decorated. Being prestigiously decorated and lifted. Being prestigiously decorated and lifted to another level. Number three, what is higher height? Higher height means having access to divine privilege which results in promotions. Having access to divine privilege. God will grant you privileges this month. I say God will grant you privileges this month. I say God will grant you privileges this month. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. You will never lack privileges. And every thanksgiver is a candidate for higher heights. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. If you can lift me up, I will draw you. God will draw you to a higher height today. I say God will draw you to a higher height today. In Psalm 148 verse 1, he says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Now, listen to this. The reason why most people who were before in higher heights suddenly descended to lower heights, to lower level, is because when they got to higher heights, what took them to higher heights, they abandoned it. In Yoruba, they say, he that forgets, a river that forgets his source to dry up. If you don't remember what took you to the height you are now, the little height, maybe height is like maybe from 1 to 1,000, maybe you are on height 10 now. You don't know what took you from 1 to 10. You can die at 10. You can move from 10 and go to 2. I've seen men who were before now recognized, influential, and suddenly you see them, they have emaciated, depreciated. You can't see anything in them that can say that they were ever affluent or blessed before. Reason, very simple. What took them to the height they abandoned it? It will never be your portion in Jesus' name. That's why the Bible says that wisdom is profitable to direct. When you know this wisdom, when you have access to such wisdom, you have access to eternal relevance. Eternally, you'll be moving from level to level. Level to, that's what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, that the path of the just is like saying the path of the thanksgiver is like a shining light that shining more and more to the perfect day. I pray for somebody here today. You will never cease to move from one level to a greater level. Amen. This morning, because of shortage of time, I'll be looking at two people, two men whose ascension to higher height is a direct product of thanksgiving. Number one, you can guess, is David. David was a man of continuous thanksgiving. The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 164 that 7 times a day was engaged in continuous thanksgiving. 7 times a day. 7 times a day. And of course, 3 times in a day was in prayer. So David was in contact with his maker 10 times a day. Seven times in the place of continuous and consistent thanksgiving. I want to appeal to you this morning. No matter how tight your schedule is, don't ever let anything cut down on your time with God. Psalm 119, 164, 7 times a day. Psalm 55, verse 17, evening, morning, and noon in prayer. So, total of 10 times a day. Evening, morning, noon, he was in prayer. So, minimum of 10 times in a day, David was in contact with his maker. No wonder he never ceased to go from one level of glory to another. To the extent that his wife, Michal, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13 to 16, despised him simply because her husband was addicted to thanksgiving. She looked at him and said, "This man, what kind of human being are you? What kind of person are you? How come you are behaving so foolishly? How come you are behaving as if you are a nobody?" David was a man who had so much respect for God that he could disrespect himself in front of God. Many of us, we are too conscious of ourselves. You are too conscious of your certificate. You are too conscious of the level that God has placed you now, to the extent that when you are in God's presence, sometimes we behave as if we are actually the ones that others have come to serve. As if we are actually the one that others have come to worship. But I pray for, I said 2 Samuel chapter 6. I didn't say 16. 2 Samuel 6. Thank you, Jesus. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Can you see what David did? Everybody, please look at me now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Everybody stop. It will slaughter cattle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It will slaughter. And it is with dancing and with praising. Go to the next verse now. I'm going to verse 16, but go to the next verse. And David danced. May God give you grace to dance this morning. I said, may God give you grace to dance this morning. Friends, I can't survive in an environment where there's no dancing. Because dancing is a cardinal part of thanksgiving. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was guarded with a linen effort. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. Let me hear you shout now. Shout a big hallelujah. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with sound of trumpet. Our trumpeter has gone for recess. Would have said he should blast the trumpet. Now let's hear. Now verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. Everybody was in the church or on the street dancing. This woman was inside the room, peeping from the executive curtain. From a royal bedroom, she was peeping to see what others were doing to God. Can you see how people do? May you not be among those who have come to watch the steps of others this morning. May you not be among those who will criticize other people's dance steps this morning. You see somebody saying, what kind of dance step is this? Are you God? Are you the one that put the dance step on the person's leg? Create your own dance step. Let us see how your own will look like. Create your own. Let us see what will happen. Maybe the thing is different from what. Just do something. Instead of looking and criticizing, what's your problem? Create your own dance step. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. That was all she did. And the Bible says onward, if you go on, that when David came back, she started blabbing. Nonsense. I can't believe this. A whole king. See how you expose yourself before all the people. And then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servant as one of the vain fellows. Shamelessly uncovered it. Can you see the way she described her husband? Number one, this woman was rude to God and rude to man. Because if a woman can look at her husband in the face and say, you look shamelessly, you know, that's an aberration. Bible says, let your word be seasoned with salt. When you speak, it should edify. Your word should give glory to God. When your husband hears your word, his heart should be glad. When God hears you speak, it shouldn't be a word of complaining or murmuring. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10. Neither ye murmur as others murmur, and we're destroyed by the destroyer. But anyway, that's a message for another day. Now, what am I saying this morning? Eventually, looking at that scripture, 1 Samuel 6, if you go on, you see that woman was in verse 23 or so, she was the only woman that became barren in the entire. Every woman that had a challenge. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Just because she despised thanksgiving. She spoke against Thanksgiving. God struck her. She spoke against a Thanksgiver. And God said, you will not see another one. This one you have said, I ain't going to forgive you. Friends, get yourself set. Because today, a new dance step is coming to your feet. I say a new dance step is coming to your feet. Number two person I'll be talking about this morning is a man called Daniel. Daniel was another man who was addicted to Thanksgiving to the extent that he went from one king to another, was reigning, and Daniel was eternally relevant. All the kings that came were in conflict of each other, yet they could not sack Daniel from the White House. He was eternally relevant from one generation to another. Nobody could move in or out. Now, what was Daniel's secret that brought him from a stranger? Daniel was more or less a stranger in that land. And suddenly, his life changed. There were 120 princes, according to Daniel chapter 6, from verse 1 all through to verse 10. There were 120 princes, and Daniel was the number one of the three presidents. 120 princes reigning over the provinces. Daniel was number one in the whole land in a strange place. A repeat of that testimony will appear in your life today. Amen. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over all his realm. Even Nigeria, as big as it is, we have 6 states. Have you? As big as Nigeria is, they say this one, they have 120 states. Daniel was in charge, and then they conspired against him. Every man or woman who is a thanksgiver is a dangerous person for you to conspire against. They said, how are we going to get this Daniel? Just move, media, as I'm speaking now, just move with me. Check it, they move with me. Now, they say, how can we get this Daniel? They checked everywhere, they couldn't see him. They said, does he steal money? He doesn't steal money. Does he collect bribe? Doesn't collect bribe. Does he use Ghana Must Go? No, he doesn't use Ghana Must Go. What does he do? He must be doing something. Okay, let us check him. Does he carry girlfriend? They say no, he doesn't carry girlfriend. Ah, does he browse pornography? They say no. Does he drink codeine? They say no. Ah, something, he must be doing something. Then they said, the only way we can get this Daniel is in the commandment of his God. And he said, nobody must worship this God. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, after the command had been said, Daniel went into prayer. He opened the window and began. Now look at that. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his window being opened in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave what? Everybody is looking for what to get from God. Daniel was busy giving thanks to God. Everybody was busy looking. What can I get from God today? God, I need a car. God, I need a wife. God, I need a shirt. God, I need money to renew my subscription on my phone. God, I want to do another hair. You see, God, I want to go to the US. God, I want to go to Germany. Daniel said, God, all I've come to do is to give you thanks. And then they went to the king. Bad, 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 bad. Yes, we got him. King, you have signed this thing that anybody that does this must die. We just got somebody now that must die. His name is Daniel. He must die. The king tried so you know, some people are so wicked. Their wickedness is more, no, they say devil is very wicked. Some people are more wicked than devil. Because devil, if you resist him, he will flee. Some people, they are bent on destroying other people, but they will never catch you. Devil has trained people that they have now become his boss. They are now superior in wickedness than devil. I told you the story some time ago of a lady who was having immoral affair with her boyfriend in the room, and she had a baby before that time, and the baby was crying, small baby was crying, and then she got up, she told the boyfriend, please wait, and she got up and took the baby, carried the baby up and took the baby down and went back to the immoral affair. Daniel was different. And let me tell you this, if you are not different, you are not needed. It is your difference in thanksgiving that makes you distinguished. Looking on, the Bible says that Daniel was thrown inside the lion's den, and eventually he began to play with the lions. He and the lions were friends. They cast him into the lion's den, and then eventually he and the lions were friends, and he came out there unscratched. That is how you are going to come out unscratched from every attack of the wicked. I said, that is how you are going to come out unscratched from every manipulations of darkness. Let me hear your loudest amen. It doesn't matter this conspiracy of the wicked against you, you will come out unscratched. I say, you will come out unscratched. You will come out without any stress. Friends, to cut long story short, those same guys and their family members were thrown. That's why when you see your family member doing evil, quickly curtail them. There's a adage in Yoruba, they say, if one's neighbor is doing what? Insect is eating the something will not allow you to sleep later. The cough. Thank you. If your neighbor is eating insect and you don't say, this thing you are doing is not good. This thing you are doing is not. When the repercussion will come, the cough, you are the one that will carry me the go with the person. God, he can infect you with the cough. It's a new day for somebody here today. Quickly this morning, having looked at those two examples, benefit of thanksgiving. Number one benefit of thanksgiving is that thanksgiving secures heaven's attention for signs and wonders. Exodus 15 verse 11. Exodus 15 verse 11. Every candidate of thanksgiving is a candidate of signs and wonders. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. If wonders is your desire, thanksgiving is the requirement. If wonders is your, I want wonders. God, I want wonders. Do wonders in my life. Come and do a miracle today. Come and do a miracle. Amira. Wonder is a direct product of thanksgiving. I've told you before, while I was in an undergraduate in the University of Ife, Obafemi Awolowo University, when people finish the exam and they say, yay, there's problem. This course, if 10 people pass it, it will be a miracle. I don't even listen. I just walk straight to a place they call Sports Center. And begin to dance. And begin to thank God. Now, Sports Center is an open place. When people are passing by, they will be seeing me. This boy doesn't know anything. The lecturer just hit us. See the way he's dancing. I will dance and sweat. Yet, going to church minimum 6 days out of 7 days in a week, never failed one course, including night vigils and other meetings. Why? Thanksgiving always brings out a miracle. There was a course, I remember, a borrowed course from the Faculty of Law. They said, when I went to check it, they said I failed. Immediately I heard that, I went back to my, I know, when you know what works, there's no way it will not work for you. I just left it like that. I did not bother myself. I went back into Thanksgiving. Went back the following day. They used their own hand to change the grade. Say, it must be a mistake we posted yesterday. With no lobbying, no bribery, no corruption. I speak to somebody here today. Thanksgiving will result in miracles for you. Instead of all this murmuring and complaining, go launch yourself permanently to Thanksgiving. Enter your office in the morning with clapping. Enter your office in the morning with hallelujah. Shout hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. Shout hallelujah to the Lord. Shout hallelujah to the Lord. You enter your office as a spiritual bulldozer with thanksgiving loaded in your spirit. then devil must give way. Speak to somebody here today. As you enter your office, your school, your business premises tomorrow, Thanksgiving will bring out blessings for you. Number two, Thanksgiving brings about preservation. Preservation. Every Thanksgiver is a candidate to be preserved. God hates ingratitude. In Malachi chapter 2 verse 2, God explains to us that he doesn't like people to be ungrateful. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessing. I have cursed them already because you did not lay it to heart. Someone say, God forbid. He said, because you did not lay it to heart to thank me. Say, what has God done for me? Or you are just living your life. What's the big deal? I woke up today. What's the big deal? I wore dress. Yeah, what's the big deal? I got admission. What's the big deal? I put to bed. It's my big deal. I was in the hospital yesterday to greet somebody with my protocol and about another brother that drove me there. And the nurse told me, the nurse said to all of us that were there, he said, sir, he said, people die here anyhow. That was the way she said it. He said, people die here anyhow. He said, it's not a big deal. People die here. I was praying for the person I went to see, and then we're thanking God. Ah, thank God, God spared your life. You are looking okay. You are even ready to go home now. Thank God for you. Then he said, you should thank God. People die here anyhow. I looked at the people that followed me. I said, yeah. People die here anyhow. That's the reason we just said it like that. People die here anyhow. They just die. You will not die. You will not die in the name of Jesus. I say you will not die in the name of Jesus. You will not die in the name of Jesus. You will not die in the name of Jesus. You will not die in the name of Jesus. You will not die in the name of Jesus. You will not die in the name of Jesus. Did you hear that, my son, when he was giving that testimony? He said, I was supposed to travel. He said, but something told me. When you are not supposed to go out, something will tell you. It was a free trip, but it was a death trip. It was a free trip, but it was a death trap. But something just, don't go. It is free, but it's not worth it. Go somewhere else. Another door opened and he went somewhere else. And those that traveled, three, lost their lives. If three lost their lives, because some their neck is broken, some their hands are broken, some maybe the left breast is cut off. All sorts. It's a new day for you today. It's a new day for you today. It's a new day for you today. So learn to thank God. Don't just be living your life as if you are the one that created yourself. In Luke chapter 12, there was a man that lived as if everything. Luke chapter 12, he behaved as if he's the one. Luke 12 verse 16 to 21. He was very rich. Everything about him was working. He needed to remember God. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to restore my fruits. His blessing was so much, he didn't think of thanking God. He didn't do what David did, bringing offering to God. He didn't do what Solomon did, killing 1,000 burnt offerings to God. He didn't do that. He said, this will I do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm a man of myself. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, can see how a proud man speak. I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink. Nothing about being a blessing to the poor. Nothing about tithing and offering. Nothing about doing something for God. Buying a bus. Building a church. Everything is me. I will eat. Only me. May you never be like that. I say, may you never be like that. I have vowed A day must not pass in my lifetime that I will not praise God. And somebody on this earth will not thank God for me that I'm alive. Every day. Every blessed day. God must know I'm alive. Also, man must know I'm alive because I must do something tangible, not exploitative, something meaningful, quantum, that can affect people around me. It's a new day for you today. It's a new day for you today. And the Bible says, and I will say to my soul, now, next verse now. Thank you, Jesus. And God, now, he said his own. I pray that when God will speak concerning you, he will speak positive. God is not somebody you can mess with. When God wants to speak about you, may he be speaking good things about you. May he not speak about you in wrath. I can't hear your amen. If I'm angry with you, it's still good. You can pacify me, you can, but if God is angry with you, there is no court you can take him to. But God said unto him, oh, you are a fool. Thou, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards. The rich towards God is not only in money, is also in thanksgiving. He's scantily thanks God. That's what that place is saying. He's rich towards himself, but he's scantily gives testimony. I know people that God has done so much for them, changed their life, done so many things. They heard the testimony. They heard it. Well, that testimony can boost somebody else's faith. That single testimony can boost somebody else's faith. You heard it. You keep it. God opened doors for you. New job, new contract, new things, new admissions. You know, different things. You keep it. You keep it. May God have mercy on you. Amen. I said, may God have mercy on you. Amen. Thanksgiving is a major thing. I pray for somebody here today that grace comes for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I said, that grace comes for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. That grace comes for you in the name of Jesus. Number one benefit is what? Number two is what? Sorry? Preservation. Now look at David. David's destiny was preserved on the ground of thanksgiving. Two times Saul tried to kill him in 1 Samuel 18, verse 8 to 12. Saul threw javelin at him, but David refused to die. He escaped it. You escaped today. You know, as I was in my prayer room this morning, just meditating on this scripture, I was praying on my feet. I was doing like this. That is, they threw it, I escaped. They threw it, I escaped. As they throw it to you today, you escape it. Amen. I was alone, no, I was just having fun with God. Praise the Lord. And Saul was, why was he wrought? Because if you read that place very well, you notice that David just won a battle in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, Saul was the king at that time, was unhappy. Saul, an evil spirit was upon Saul. And David started playing musical instruments. If you back up a little bit. Okay, and it came to pass on that morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as that other. David knows how to drive away evil spirit. All of you that you are feeling evil spirit around you, play music, play worship in your house. Play worship around you. Let worship be flowing. All those evil spirits, they carry their load. But when you are playing Obese, Miliki, Baba Miliki, all these things, you are playing hip hop rain in your house, then they are hip hop rain in your house. Somebody who smoked manja wee wee before he went to sing, he's now singing in your house. He will gather his friends. They will come in together. But if you are in the house and you are worshiping, as we gather, may your spirit dwell within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Oh God, we'll be blessed. was the kind of life David was living. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit, and okay, look at that. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Somebody came to save you from destruction. You kept javelin. In my place, they say we are sending him rat. He's sending us. We are sending him rat. He's sending us snake. Do you understand that adage? You are sending him rat. We are sending her rat. She is sending us snake. May God expose such people to you today. And Saul cast the javelin, and he said, I will smite David. He wanted to smite David to the wall. He wanted to kill him to the wall. While he was playing like this, he threw javelin. But as David was playing and dancing, he just did like this. He didn't know. He just... Eminima koko jeri sagbara oluwa eminima koko jeri sagbara
oluwa
eminio
eminima koko jeri sagbara oluwa
eminio
eminima koko jeri sagbara oluwa
Jesus ye Jesus ye Jesus ye Amen. Now sit down, let me complete this message. We are going to dance very well this morning. Shout a big hallelujah. Let me move from there, because I can preach like 6 messages on that one already. But let's go. Number 3, benefit of thanksgiving is elimination of pride. One of the major work of thanksgiving is to make you eliminate pride in your life. There's a difference between pride and self-esteem. And every thanksgiver is a humble, because it takes thanksgiving for you to be, it takes humility for you to be thanking another person. Hello. It takes humility for you to say, thank you. Olorimi. Olorimi. Oh. Kini ma fi san fun o o Olore mi Kini ma fi san fun o Olore Only the humble can praise God. And one of the work of thanksgiving is to bring forth humility. Now, unthankfulness is one of the major things in this end time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 and 2. One of the signs that we have reached end time is that men will be unthankful. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful. It's one of the signs that the end of the world has come. Just unthankful. But I pray for you this morning, the grace of humility comes for you in Jesus' name. There's a man called King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. The man was bragging, was making mouth. Isn't this the kingdom I've made? And the king spoke and said, is not this the great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He was just speaking arrogantly, speaking peacockishly, speaking as if he's the one that placed himself there. And while the word, he has not finished his word, he was still saying it. While the word was in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. That's why I prayed for you earlier, that anytime God speaks concerning you, to be a good word. Amen. While the word was still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. I read the rest of the story, how his claws grew out, how he began to, his body began to grow feathers, how he began to eat grass. Somebody that was a king. And 7 seasons passed over this man. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was, can you see, they have even removed king from him by that time. There was no king Nebuchadnezzar. You can see how easy doctor can be removed, engineer can be removed from anybody now. If you are not humble, somebody that is a king, already they removed the king from there. See, when you read scripture, you must read to get the salient points there. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. You will not be driven from men. And did eat grass upon oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nail like the birds. You can see. But I like this man. Bible says in verse 34 that his senses came to him. And end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned. Your understanding will return today. Some people behave as if their understanding has lost. Your ingratitude to God is a sign that you have lost your understanding. It's a sign. He said, after God dealt with me, my understanding returned. Your understanding will return today. And at the end of the days, I think I lift up my eyes unto the Lord, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honor. That was all we were supposed to be doing before. If it is me there, me mama kwe mo le debe mo yano. Those were the things we were supposed to be doing before. Worshipping God, adoring Him, honoring God. He goes, hey, the kingdom, hold me, hold you, who are you? And I praise and honor Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. God will help you and I today. I say, God will help you and I today. God will help you and I today. I say, God will help you and I today. I have three more points to go, but I'll just take the last one. I'll leave two for another time. I'll take the last one. Number what now from you? Number four, okay. I'll take the sixth one under this teaching. Number six advantage of thanksgiving is that it brings about a happy ending. Happy ending. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6, verse 26 to 28, 1 Chronicles 29, 26 to 28, David had a happy ending. He died at a good old age. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he was reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reign in Hebron. 30 and 3 years reign he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned. Thanksgivers have a happy ending. What is the benefit of a good beginning of a story? How many of you have watched a film that had a very beginning, good beginning, and you get to the middle, it begins to bore you? There is a disconnect between the beginning of the film and the middle and the end. Initially they were talking about love. Now they are talking about something completely different. They begin to talk about American president 70 years ago. They talk about when Jack Onde was governor in Lagos. It's this story is not connecting. That is what happens when a man is not thanking God. There is a disconnect between his beginning and his end. Pray for you this morning that your beginning and your ending shall be great. You have started well. May you receive grace to continue well. You have started well. May you receive grace to continue well. As I was with my father in the Lord over the course of the week with my wife, I just looked at him severally. I said, Kai, this man at this age is still able to continue with God. Still able to persevere. Always on point. I said, Jesus, this same grace of continuity, consistency, Father, may I get it. Pray for somebody here today. That grace is bestowed on you this morning. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church. Praise Tabernacle along Pipeline Road in Loring. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.